share this space and a walk with me.
It is 7 p.m. on October 28th. My name is Lynn, and you're tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM. We're broadcasting live from Burnaby Mountain, BC. I have two special guests here, our production coordinator, Priyansh, and his friend, Raj. Yeah?
Hey, how's it going, listeners? My name is Priyansh, and I'm a student here at SFU, and I'm the production coordinator for CJSF.
So what do you do? What's your job?
Okay, so I'm responsible for all the audio and video production stuff that happened, and all the audio video content, starting from like studio sessions, PSAs that you hear, and all the station IDs and show promos and all that jazz, yeah.
Hey, all you listeners, my name is Raj. I'm a friend of Priyansh's.
And so, gentlemen, why are we here right now? Why have I invited you into this booth?
Okay, you know, when you were saying, why are you here, I was about to take that to like a whole different direction and be like, the meaning of life and all that. But speaking of why we're in the booth.
I think it's our shared love of Vetus.
That is definitely one way of saying it. That is, shared love is, there is definitely a shared emotion between the three of us. I don't know if you can call it love. It's positive. It's definitely positive. I will say that much. After that, I cannot confirm nor deny anything.
To translate that, we're here for the bit. So there is a band that I'm sure all of my listeners are aware of called Vetus, and they have a song called Teenage Dirtbag. And that's probably the only song I've ever heard of theirs. I don't think I've ever felt compelled to listen to any of their other music.
They have other music?
They do. Well, they have an album called Vetus. Wait, let's look it up. Okay, so first of all, this is a shoegaze show. As you know, why are we talking about Vetus right now? So I Googled, is Vetus shoegaze? And this is what Google AI told me. No, the band Vetus is not considered shoegaze. Shocker. The band is primarily known for its alternative and pop rock sound, exemplified by its 2000s hit Teenage Dirtbag. So, why do we care about Vetus? Why do we care about Vetus? What are we doing here? Like,
well, one, as you said, it's definitely commitment to the bit. There's something about the concept of Teenage Dirtbag. Like, not even just the song itself. Like, at this point, it has become a phenomenon.
As an entity.
Exactly. Yes. Like, it is... There's a degree of separation from the actual song, the music video, all the production that went into it, and what it has become as a cultural phenomenon. I'm not trying to put it on the same level as, like, a Rickroll or something, but when I say Rickroll, you can kind of see how that ties into Teenage Dirtbag.
And so, with Teenage Dirtbag, can you, for my listeners who are not, if one of you guys is not aware, tell me about the music video. What's the music video about?
See, joke's on you, because committing to the bit, I have not actually seen the music video.
I've seen it.
It's from this, like, movie called Loser, and, like, it's basically a guy getting bullied, and then, like, he's, like, in love with this girl. And then, if you haven't heard the song Teenage Dirtbag, well, they're going to perform it for you. We have a special performance.
Yeah, we're just ironing out a few audio kinks with that right now, but we will have that ready for you, apparently.
Also, this week, I think I told you guys, it's going to be grunge days, which is like the complete opposite of what we're about to do. But we were just having a conversation about Teenage Dirtbag, and also the fact that, like, Vetus is currently on tour right now, and they're a band from the 2000s from New York. And for some reason, they're coming to Kelowna, Nelson, and Fernie. What are they doing in Fernie, of all places? Like,
well, I mean, Fernie is—it's a cute place. I'll
really
give
cute.
It that. It's very cute. It's very quaint. It gives almost like old school Tofino vibes, minus the ocean.
But the mountains.
Yeah. You have a different natural phenomenon kind of attracting you there.
It's very like artisan.
But like again, I was not made. Okay, I've lived in BC my entire life.
Yeah.
I am the child of immigrants. And, you know, I've spent my entire life here. My parents have spent the majority of their lives here. I was not made aware of the existence of the municipality of Fernie until probably 2021.
Wow. My great-grandfather, when his parents immigrated from Italy, they came to Fernie. So that's where my great-grandfather grew up.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
So at least one of us has a reason to go to Fernie to see Vetus in concert.
Fernie is like a 12-hour drive or something like that. It's a ways away.
Yeah.
So anyways, Are we almost ready to get started? Anyways, the song Teenage Dirtbag is a meme, and like I feel like everyone who is with, I feel like Gen Z especially, I feel like we all kind of like have a certain level of understanding and appreciation for what it
would
is.
Would you say that in a way we all are the Teenage Dirtbag baby?
I think I'd have to agree. I don't think I could counter that one. Yeah, so Teenage Dirtbag.
Young adult dirtbag.
Yes. It really takes me back. I remember hearing the song when I was 12.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I remember, like, preteen dirtbag. And I just didn't really understand it. And then I was a teenager, and then I fully understood it. But I feel like at that point, because, like, when I heard it when I was 12, I, like, took the song pretty seriously. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, eventually I understood this is, like, this is a meme. This is not a good song. Okay, I should not say this is a bad song.
Exactly. Like,
it's not a bad song.
The sentiment that we share, as I've stated previously, is definitely positive, but there is so much ambiguity around how to actually describe not just our generations, but like everyone's individual personal relationship with the concept of Teenage Dirtbag. Not the song, the concept that is Teenage Dirtbag. Baby.
Baby. I think it's the lead singer's vocals that kind of like brings it all together.
There's a vocal quality to it that gives off. Exactly. Yes, I love that. It gives off like a level of almost patheticness. I feel like the goal there is to garner some sort of sympathy on behalf of like the music video protagonist. Which again, I'm speaking to this concept from like, what is this, like secondhand, thirdhand sourcing? Because I still haven't seen the video. I do not know what to imagine. You describe the concept, and I'm just thinking stick figures walking around and.
No, not stick figure. It's like a college video kind of a thing, and like, you know, there's this guy who like parks his bicycle and the song starts, and then there's this like, you know, really stupid guy like who's like, you know, who's the boyfriend of the girl that he likes.
Oh, because in reference to his boyfriend's a dick, or her boyfriend's a dick. Yes.
You can say that because it's past a certain time, and also it's artistic liberty.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I'm making a direct commentary on the lyrics of the song itself.
Yeah.
Yep. So and like in the starting of the video, you can see that guy parking his car and just like crashing into his like bicycle, and then he's like, her boyfriend's a dick. Yes.
No, exactly. Yeah. And yeah.
What if this episode, because we're going to talk about grunge gays today, what if we just did a deep dive on Weedus?
How about we go even more hyper-specific and just talk about Teenage Dirtbag?
We can totally just talk about Teenage Dirtbag.
I'm not saying no. Listeners out there who are really tuning in for the other content.
The
shoegaze. The all the other gazes. How about you gaze upon Teenage Dirtbag?
Whoa. Okay.
All right. So we have a special performance prepared. And so Priyansh, in the spirit of my show, wanted to give Teenage Dirtbag a more shoegaze flavor. Is that right?
Not quite shoegaze. Yeah, I just like, you know, slowed it down a little bit, and you know, and it's kind of like, I guess it's pitched down a little bit. So, and we're gonna be playing that. And
the 30, not even 30, in the 20-ish minutes that we've been discussing this bit, Priyansh, yes, again, for all the listeners out there, this conversation has not existed for long. We really have just committed to the bit. Like, this commitment to Weedus, similar to motherhood, is just a bit that you kind of have to stick with until it itself is resolved. Either by us doing this performance with the track that Priyansh has put together within the last 20 minutes, or when your child is of an appropriate age to then become independent themselves. Yes, I did just make a comparison between what we're doing right now and the joys of motherhood.
In what ways were you a teenager, buddy?
Well, it really, you have to think about what the interpretation of the word dirtbag really is. You can take it on like the personal, like internal locus of responsibility kind of idea where it's like, oh, you know, I'm a bit of a dirtbag because I don't keep up with my friends, or, you know, I know I have potential, but I'm not following through with it. Or, you know, my mom asked me to unload the dishwasher and I didn't because I was too busy playing video games. But then it creeps up in the back of my mind that, you know, we have a limited amount of time on this planet. And instead of helping, you know, potentially ease the suffering that my mom will have in the long term by having to empty the dishwasher herself, I am now contributing to it. And then you get all these like rampaging thoughts that, you know, help you spiral into, wow, that got really dark all of a sudden.
So, did you have an emo phase? Did you listen to emo music?
I did not, actually.
So I went to like an emo night because I was in Kelowna recently. First of all, it was a surreal experience because I was in a club in Kelowna, and I feel like it needs to be closer. I speak loudly. I speak very loudly. You know, sometimes I'll like listen back to like the things that I've like recorded previously, and I'm like just sitting back here and I'm like, wow, my voice is loud. If I was like back here, if I was like talking like this. But being an emo night, I had no idea what the fuck was going on. Did I just swear the...
Oh my goodness.
It's okay, we know that didn't happen. I had no idea what was going on.
What the heck was going on?
What the heck was going on? I'm not gonna edit that out later. I'm just gonna like own it. We were just talking about how I had a guest on like a couple months ago when I was doing my old show, and how that person was a substitute teacher and she dropped the F-bomb like 2 minutes into my show, and it was so funny.
Well, to be fair, it's only been about 11 minutes since you dropped yours.
Okay,
so
and also just like it's past a certain time because like we have like prime time hours, which basically we prioritize content that is not explicit and content that, like, say, you know, like a small child or an old person heard would not get offended by it. But we're kind of like we're in the clear because it's a little bit later on. But yeah, so, anyways, oh yeah, I was talking about emo night. I never had an emo phase. I like to say I had a shoegaze phase and it never ended. I have been listening to shoegaze since I was probably like 13 years old. I'm 24 now. And I don't know what it is. Like, I feel like I feel like when people talk about emo music, it's because they, like, the hormones were raging, right? And they just, like, they found something that, like, really grabbed them. And for me, it was never emo music.
No, that makes sense. A lot of sense. Like you're saying, hormones are really high.
Yeah.
Your teenage years, especially, like, before, during, and after puberty specifically,
yeah.
It's like, with all the hormones, you're experiencing emotions a lot higher, a lot brighter than what most people ever will at any other point in their lives. So it's like finding music, because music is such a potent art form.
Absolutely.
Finding music that you can relate to on such a level, especially with your emotions peaking as high as they are hormonally, it creates that kind of association in your mind. Like, mm-hmm. I was never really that big into emo music. I can see why people are.
Yeah.
I dated a girl back in high school who was like huge on Pierce the Veil.
Oh,
if
yeah.
That's, you know.
I would put them in with emo, absolutely.
Yeah.
I never listened to Pierce the Veil. I never listened to, yeah. Like, I remember listening to like Avril Lavigne when I was like 9. Like, I was obsessed. I guess that, you know what, that was my emo phase. It's like, yeah, I listened to like,
yeah,
Avril Lavigne. But like, we all kind of had like iterations of that. I feel like when you're in your adolescence, like, you're just trying to like find your footing and you like,
absolutely,
you find something that you listen to. And so for some people, that's Fall Out Boy, you know. But like, okay, the reason I was on this topic is that, would you call this an emo song? I feel like,
ooh,
all of the themes that you, and like the adolescent angst and the, I don't know, I feel like everything that people are drawn to about emo music in their adolescent years is represented in this song. I feel like it's such a, it is a meme because it is like really like...
Well, it depends how,
yeah,
deep you want to go, because
I think for the...
I see what you were about to do there.
Do you think it was a meme for the time when it was released? I don't feel
I
like
people... I don't think so.
I think like people were like, oh my god, that's me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
like,
again,
it kind of this song, I always pair it up with, you know, a Simple Plan's "I'm Just a Kid."
Oh yeah.
Oh goodness.
For sure.
Yeah. So like these two songs are like, you know, like I'm always like pairing them together because like they kind of like are conveying a similar feeling. Yeah.
No, I totally get that. You know what? To the same degree that we could argue "Teenage Dirtbag" is an emo song, we could probably also argue to that same degree that "I'm Just a Kid" is also an emo song. Maybe not to people who want to be quote unquote emo music purists, thinking,
yeah,
about, oh, it has to have a certain instrumentation, it has to have like certain musical beats to it. If you're thinking about it, if you interpret it more off like the themes of what the music generally relates to, then yeah, I would argue that Teenage Dirtbag is emo.
I think, like, if we look at the prefix of emo, like, it emotional. It's emotional music.
Yeah.
It's very, especially when we think of, like, emo's great. Oh, yeah. We should probably get started.
Do we have something prepared?
Are we ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to whip it out for us?
Sure.
And then after the song, we're going to talk a bit more about it, and then we're going to listen to the actual song itself.
Yep.
And then we're going to show you the music video, and then we'll talk about the music video after.
I am so down.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So be a real experience.
This is a whole...
I promise you this is not
my
sarcasm.
My listeners, because I've had several people saying, I'm going to tune in. I've had several people say, oh yeah, I'm going to tune in for Grunge Gaze. I'm so excited for Grunge Gaze. Well, you're listening to Teenage Dirtbag. So.
And this is the bit.
This is for the bit.
Her name is Noelle. I have a dream about her. She rings my bell. I got gym class in half an hour. Oh, how she rocks in Keds and tube socks. But she doesn't know who I am, and she doesn't give a damn about me. Cause I'm just a teenage dirtbag, baby. Yeah, I'm just a teenage dirtbag, baby. Listen to Iron Maiden, baby, with me. Ooh. Her boyfriend's a dick. He brings a gun to school and he'd simply kick my ass if he knew the truth. He lives on my block and he drives an IROC. But he doesn't know who I am, and he doesn't give a damn about me. Cause I'm just a teenage dirtbag, baby. Yeah, I'm just a teenage dirtbag, baby. I'm just a teenage dirtbag, baby. Listen to Iron Maiden, baby, with me. Ooh. Oh yeah, dirtbag. No, she doesn't know what she's missing. Man, I feel like mope. It's prom night and I am lonely. Lo and behold, she's walking over to me. This must be fake. My lip starts to shake. How does she know who I am? And why does she give a damn? I've got two tickets to Iron Maiden, baby. Come with me Friday, don't say maybe. I'm just a teenage dirtbag, baby, like you. Yeah. That was me. Yeah.
You're a fantastic singer. I was expecting you to do the voice the whole time. Like, I was typing my notes half, like milk the voice. I thought
well, the thing is, like, we pitched it down a little bit so I could give it a little more chest, you know?
You did.
And
I'm so impressed.
For a second, I was afraid of not channeling Weedus, but instead channeling, if to all the Jimmy Neutron fans out there, Carl Weezer.
Carl Weezer's mom.
You know, something a little more like that. I was afraid. But and then I realized I don't need to be afraid. This is the bit. This is what I was here to do. I was put on this planet for a purpose, and I guess part of that purpose was whatever we just ended up with.
You know what? It was a beautiful moment, and also I think pitching it down was the right move. It was a good job.
Absolutely, it let me get more passionate with it. You know.
Yeah, especially like we were not warmed up vocally, so that's
that's definitely true. Yeah. Priyansh and I, we're good friends, but we met through our choir actually. So, our choral director, shout out Mel, is very strict with her warm ups. She likes to keep us loose and vocally limber in her own special ways, and I feel like I'm kind of used to her warm up routine, and so going into this a little bit cold.
Yeah. Like the vocal warm up thing, like, I don't know, it's not the primary topic of the, you know.
Can,
the
we, can we hear more about the vocal warm ups? So, okay, give an example of a vocal.
So, before coming to the example, I would just like to say that, you know how when you're driving a manual or a stick, you don't just like straight up start on the fifth gear or on the sixth gear. You like slowly build it up. And same is the way with, you know, vocal warm up. Like you, you know, warm up your, you know, mid range bit and then the high range, and then you, you know, go ahead with the song. So one of the very popular vocal warm-ups that we do, you know, do 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 re do do re mi re do do re mi fa re. Yeah. So like we do it like
tend to use numbers.
Yeah.
1 1 2 1 1 2 3 2 1 1 2 3 4 3 2 1 all the way up to
3 4 5 4 3 2 1 1 2 3 4 5 6 5 4 3 2 1
as you can hear, we're currently still warming up.
What's the dumbest warm up that you guys have to do?
The dumbest one?
Lip trills?
I would argue lip trills are pretty dumb. Only in
like it looks funny. Like, you know, your face looks funny. Yeah.
It's actually a really important thing because we're doing choral music, which is a lot different than solo performance music, because when you're a solo singer, your enunciation, the way you put your vocals out there is different because you are by yourself. You're the only voice, the only enunciation. You are all the words. Whereas in a choir, you're singing with other people in different sections, and you want to blend in a way that makes everybody's voice sort of unify into one cohesive sound. And so lip trills are really good at loosening your lips, your cheeks, all the muscles of your face in order to help you keep a more open and rounded oral cavity to put the sounds out in a way that blends easier. There's no harsh, really like nasally or like really sharp sort of sounds that you're making, that you're supposed to make when you're doing like proper choral music. It's a lot softer, a lot rounder. Like for example, our choral director goes off about using the vowel sound for E, the hard E. You're not supposed to go E with like your mouth making like a nice long shape. It's supposed to be more of an ovular, like a E.
But to cut you off, like, isn't that in Teenage Dirtbag, isn't it? Teenage.
Exactly. And yeah, and that's the point. That's,
I think like they're doing it like as a creative choice, and
I sort of mentioned previously that like the almost Carl Weezer-esque tone that he goes with is I would say a way to sort of garner sympathy on behalf of like the protagonist of the music video, as described to me, because again we'll be watching
it, and you guys are gonna listen to Teenage Dirtbag and you're gonna compare it to the performance, which obviously this was so much better. Yeah, I was really expecting more of a Carl Weezer voice, but I'm very impressed by singing abilities. Better singer than I am. Yeah, I definitely think, like, obviously, like, I make shoegaze, so it is very different. When I sing, enunciation is not necessarily a focus either. Like, it's very much a stylistic choice, but obviously in choral singing, you're trying to almost sing in a certain, like, uniform.
Well, you know, again, as someone who's very, very inexperienced with the world of shoegaze, I would argue, from how you've described it to me, which is as a sort of pedal formation that leads to a wall of sound.
Yes.
I would argue that in a sense it is a type of choral performance in that the rest of the choir is the instrumentation itself. So it doesn't necessarily need to have these sharp enunciated vocals that you have in other forms of music, because it is about the combination of the sounds. It is about what you're able to do with them to elicit these emotions. Mm-hmm. And you don't need to necessarily hear vocals or have words to interpret. Like, for example, when I'm trying to listen to music, I can't really do much else if it's new music, because there's a part of me that wants to sit down and listen, take in the words, try to understand why they go with the music the way they do.
Right.
Because music is a form of art, and art is to be experienced, and that's how I experience it.
I was just talking to someone last night about this, actually. Like, I feel like when I listen to music, I'm picking apart. And I think you were saying this.
We were just talking about it as well.
I, like, pick things apart, like, oh, this is, like, the bass line, this is this. I don't listen to the lyrics. And I think that maybe just comes, like, from being a musician as well. Especially when it comes to shoegaze, like, there's so many layers, and I'm always trying to, like, understand all the layers, versus, like, as you were saying, you kind of are more focused on, like, the lyrical
content. Yeah, and, like, the way you're describing, like, picking apart the layers and listening to, like, the different instrumentation is, in a way, Priyansh, would you agree, it's a little reminiscent of, like, sort of large choral music, in that you have these different sections singing these different parts that tie in together to create a larger, more homogenous piece.
Yeah. How about this? We're going to listen to... We're gonna listen to Loveless, our song from Loveless. Actually, let's do this. And you're gonna tell me what you think of it, because I am working on this Shoegaze Classics episode. It's gonna come out, I don't know when, but it's gonna be more like a documentary style episode that is like an intro to shoegaze and basically just talking about what is the genre, like, what are the historical implications of it, what are the current implications, like, how has it evolved over time, all those big questions, and also just, like, what the heck is shoegaze? Everyone always hears me talking about shoegaze, and I've had several people say to me, like, what is it? And then I explain it, and they're like, oh, but then they don't know, because you have to hear it to know it. So we're going to listen to When You Sleep from Loveless, just, you know, just for reference, and then we can talk a bit more about that.
Absolutely.